Shavua Tov, everyone, and happy Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh Adar is upon us. I want to start off that I think my topic is quite apropos. My topic is Simcha, and how do we feel Simcha during the time of war? How do we feel Simcha during Chodesh Adar? And you may not know this, besides Serena, of course, knowing Rami Alav Shalom. I actually knew him as well growing up in the Five Towns. I remember him very well. And one thing I remember about him, if I had to do one word, would be simcha, smile. He always had a smile on his face. He always was happy-go-lucky. I don't know you well enough. We'll go out for a bagel sometime with my mother-in-law. You'll show me your smile. But that's, to me, to define someone as simcha, I don't think there's any greater title. I'm not coming just here to speak. As, you know, a lot of people come up and say, I don't know who he was. I know, and I know certainly know from Serena. Serena's way of defining him was just very happy, always besimcha. So that certainly is really a great testament to that, and it gives me great cover that I'm able to speak. Of course, Birshus, my mother-in-law, Shlita, who I don't know what she said, that why I don't know if she's, what she said. He's funny, he's this, he's not a real rabbi, don't worry, he won't be so intellectual, he'll tell jokes. Okay, good. So I did promise, I don't want to say unfortunately, but my wife is here. And I only say unfortunately because she told me I can't say any mother-in-law jokes. So I will very much listen to her and start with a mother-in-law joke. So, no, if we're speaking about simcha, mishanechnas adar marbim b'simcha, that doesn't always apply. I could see people not being happy. What if you moved to Israel to run away from your mother-in-law? And now she moves here, right? You know what I'm saying? So what, you know, like, it's not so easy. So how do you be besimcha all the time? You know, when she lives, a good 12-minute walk away and knocks on your door and comes in all day. No, I'm kidding. So how do we be besimcha? You can't, true. It doesn't always work besimcha, right? And certainly when we're in the time of war, if it was the hardest year ever, if I could have the audacity of also dedicating this year, L'zeicha Nishmas the Kedoshim, it's hard to believe that it's been 5 months. That Naflu al Kiddush Hashem, and certainly our soldiers, we are very fortunate that our son has been out for 2 weeks. He was serving for over 4 months, and Baruch Hashem, and our nephews, my mother-in-law's wonderful grandchildren, who Baruch Hashem was serving, and to those that are still serving, Yosef Dov Gottlieb and Naftali Tzvi, what would you call that, your grandson-in-law? Is there such a thing? We certainly daven for all the soldiers, and certainly that our hostages in Mirtz Hashem should, in Mirtz Hashem, very, very soon see their families and be able to see true simcha.
Amen.
So, there are only 14 days, shopping days, until Purim. And, you know, we all think that, you know, it says in the Mishnah Berurah, you know, that the Chafetz Chaim tells us in the Shulchan Aruch, you have to have a theme. Like, if you don't have a theme, like, forget about it. Certainly in America, I'm sure we all remember, themes were like the most important thing. It didn't really matter what you had. And everybody thought, oh my God, and you have to have two brachos, which is something that was made up. It's not written anywhere. And you have to have a theme. Why? Because that draws simcha. People come to the house. I remember growing up in the Five Towns, Ir HaKodesh. So when you grew up in the Five Towns, so there was one family, I'm not mentioning any names, but one family we always would get Shalach Manos from. We weren't particularly friendly with them, but they gave you a big Zamex cake and a big bottle of champagne. And all of a sudden, Purim was the time we were all, everybody was friendly with them. There was a line out the door because they're fancy schmancy with their, you know, it was amazing. And you know, you always said, oh, so-and-so, they're going to have challah this year. This one's going to have that. This one's that. And that's very nice, but that does add to this idea of simcha. So what does it mean, misha nechnas adar ma'abrim besimcha? So we know that there is actually an opposite line to this. We know that there is an idea of misha nechnas av mematim besimcha. Literally the opposite of adar is the month of av, where it says when Av comes, we decrease our joy. Misha nichnas Av mematim besimcha. I have a friend, unfortunately, who did not get along with his father. And he used to have that line all the time. Misha nichnas Av, when my father walks in, mematim besimcha. I'm not happy. I don't, you know, that's not, I don't have to say that because I love my father and my father-in-law. You wouldn't believe it. So misha nichnas Adar, marbim besimcha, the word marbim, is to increase joy, which leads us to believe what? Increasing joy doesn't mean that you weren't in joy already. And in fact, Av says, Mishenichnas Av Mimatim. It doesn't say you're not allowed to be happy. There is a very I think a notion that is incorrect, that people think you're not allowed to be happy during Av. No, you know, people are machmir, the 9 days, the 3 weeks, we don't take showers, you know, the yeshiva bachrim, you know, they don't take showers the whole year because of this. They're very machmir. Right? But that's not the idea. The idea is for a person to be besimcha. So how does a person reach that level of simcha? I don't know if you remember this. I don't know if you're as old as I am. But there used to be a song. You know, now they have all these new songs with rock and all these people. Ah. Anyway, back in the days, I don't know if you remember the tape recorder days. There used to be a song. I put the tape recorder on. And what was the song? Mitzvah Gedola? Liyos Besimcha? Tamid. Tamid. It's actually not a pasuk. It's actually from Rav Nachman Breslov before he became famous and started dancing on the Nachman things and all the people would go around and dance. Before that was it. Mishnah, right? That was the idea. Mitzvah Gedola Liyos Besimcha? Tamid. Rabbi Nachman writes about this idea of Tamid. There are times that we're not supposed to be happy. Yeah, it's true. There are times we are sad. But Mitzvah Gedola Liyos Besimcha Tamid. Every single morning, in davening, we say Mizmor Latoda. Ivdu Es Hashem Besimcha. That's not a Hasidish thing. You know, we think that only the Rav Nachman people, the other ones, they're always happy. They're jumping on top. I had this chus of going last week to Hebron. And we went with the yeshiva to Hebron. And what happened? A Nachman van came over. Oh, and they made simcha. They were jumping on top of the things. They were offering our boys things, which probably they shouldn't have, for them to be besimcha. Anyway, but that's besimcha. That's simcha. Is besimcha tamid. What does this tamid mean? So I want to tell you over a very, very interesting idea. There is an Ein Yaakov. The Ein Yaakov was famously the commentator on all the Agadic Gemaras. All the Talmud's Agadic stories, he commented on. And he has a very interesting idea. He quotes it as a medrash. We don't know where this medrash is today. So I'm quoting it in the name of the Ein Yaakov. And he says the following. I apologize. I don't know the way the shir is, but my shir are audience participation. I have prizes. We have, a bagel house. You're going to get a bagel. If you pay for it, you get a bagel. It's very exciting. We have a lot of big prizes here tonight. Okay. So here's question number. Yeah, and there's no test afterwards, but maybe. Oh, we'll see. Okay. Here we go. So for an apartment to Harmony, apartment. We can give away an apartment, right? We have a budget. We have a budget. You're not paying me, so we have a budget. Okay, here we go. So here's the question. If I was to define what is the pasuk in the Torah, pick one pasuk that defines the Jewish people. What is the one pasuk, if I wanted to define the Jewish people, what is that pasuk? Don't worry, there's no wrong answers. Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha. Excellent. Wrong answer. No, I'm kidding. Everything's fine. You don't get the apartment, though. Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha. But you're cheating because, you know, I said that already. Okay, fine. Yeah, very good. Anybody else? What do you think? Not a pasuk that I said. What would be the one pasuk? Somebody who's not religious. And they come to you and they say, no, tell me, what's the one pasuk that defines the Jewish people? Love it. V'haftarecha kamocha, half an apartment. Yes. V'haftarecha kamocha. Doesn't that define the Jewish people? I shall love thy neighbor as thyself. That is, famously, Hillel was taught this when there was a ger that came. He said, teach me all the Torah on rega achas. Shammai kicks him out. You know, he says, get out of here. What are you, crazy? And he says, I'll tell you. Everything else is commentary. Very good. Good, good, good. One more. One more pasuk. What is the pasuk, if I were to define it? I could give you a clue if you want. What's the one pasuk of... I won't give you the clue. I see somebody... Ani Hashem Elokecha. Close. It's that genre.
Shema Yisrael.
Thank you very much. You redeem yourself. You get the apartment. Okay. You get an apartment. Okay. Everybody gets an apartment. Okay. Fine. Right. Don't look me up afterwards and ask me the apartment. I have a non-disclosure. So, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokecha, Hashem Echad. So this, let me read you. Ben Zoma Omer. Matzino pasuk hakol el yoser. I found the absolute greatest pasuk that is kol el yoser, that defines us. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Echad. Now we know this. Unfortunately, if I was telling this drasha 5 months ago, 6 months ago, I would talk about the Holocaust and all those people who died on Kiddush Hashem with Shema Yisrael on their lips. I would tell the story of the Panovich Rav, a Rav Ilelza Silver, that went from monastery to monastery after the Holocaust. And when he went in, and they wouldn't let him in, and he said, no, he said, all I want is 5 minutes. And he walked in, and they wouldn't let him talk. They wouldn't do anything, and all he did is scream out, Shema Yisrael, and these little babies were crying, because they said, Mama, Mama, they remembered. And unfortunately, lo aleinu, history repeats itself. We know that on October 7th, there were so many Shema Yisrael stories. We had the schus, my wife and I, to go to the south a number of weeks ago, together with Laman Achai. And there in Nachal Oz, right? And Kerem Shalom, thank you. Kerem Shalom, she's Ava Connector. Kerem Shalom, thank you very much. Anilo Medaber Kamo Ishti Shemidaber Kokach Tova. Anyway, I used to work in the ministry of defense because I know what to talk. So in Kerem Shalom, we've heard the story that Kerem Shalom is just the story of Gvura. There were what's called Kita Konanut. Kita Konanut, I don't know, I'm sure you've seen them walk around, a little bit scary people. I say scary because they're like my age people who are walking around with M16s. They haven't been in the army for 30 years. And you're like, these people are not going to help me, are they? Kita Konanut are people who are ready. And these Kita Konanut, seven people, went out in Kerem Shalom, who certainly were not ready. And Baruch Hashem, they annihilated all the Hamas terrorists. There were 19 of them who came into the, thank God. And there was one family, Nebuch, they got into their home. I'm sure you saw the story. And he kept the door closed. And they kept trying to get in. And finally, unfortunately, he lost his arm. But when they finally were able to, Baruch Hashem, annihilate the Hamas terrorists, Yimach Shemam, they wanted to get in to help him. Baruch Hashem, he lived. It's an amazing story of how he lived. And they wouldn't let him in. And they said, how do I know you're saying you're the soldiers? Maybe you're not. And they said, we know how we'll know. And he started screaming. He said, I scream, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And she's like, oh, okay. She opened the door. And how there was a person who was fighting. Many of these soldiers went down. They didn't have uniforms. And they ran down. And he had gotten shot. And he was bleeding Nebuch to death. He lived to tell the story. And he said, all these soldiers came up to him and thought he was a Hamas terrorist because he was wearing regular clothes. And they put the gun to his head. And he said, wait, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. He was saved. That defines us as the Jewish people, Yichud Hashem. But Ben Nano says, no, that's not the answer. The Pasuk HaKolel, Hu V'Hafta Recha Kamocha. What better than V'Hafta Recha Kamocha? That defines us, and we've certainly seen this during the war. We've seen an outpouring of V'Hafta Recha Kamocha that I've certainly never seen in my history. And it's absolutely amazing. Those that have gone, I'm sure many of you have gone to Aroma, like my wonderful mother-in-law, and either made the food or made nice little smiley faces. It's amazing. I have to tell you something. I was a little bit involved in the first few months of the war, raising money from our friends in America, and we were buying warm clothing for all these soldiers in the north who literally had nothing. They were shivering at night. And I went up one Friday, and I saw something amazing. We really were like on the border. And I see on the tank something very strange. I say, Ma yeshachem po baba? And he shows me pictures. And he says to me, Ata yodea, do you know in America? What's a yanja? A yanja? What's a yanja? I look at the thing and it's from YNJ in New Jersey. Yanja. And he goes, what's a ska? I go, ska, S-K-A from, right, the girls wrote, you know, we love you, but soldiers, S-K-A. Here's my phone number, I need a shidduch. Fine, whatever. He says, do you know this girl? Yeah. It was amazing. That's V'Hafta Recha Kamocha on their tanks. They have, it's an unbelievable story. I used to be anti-Semitic. I used to only fly United. I wasn't a big El Al fan. I've become the biggest El Al fan ever now. I'm done with United, chapui on them. And on my first flight, for our first, 15 years ago, we moved here. That was my last flight on El Al. And I went back, because I had no choice. And I'm sitting at the checking in, and there's a very nice woman from, she happened to be from Jamaica, and she says, hello, man, how you doing? She says to me, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. I don't know why she thought I was the representative of the Jewish people. She said, look next to you. Next to me was about 75 duffel bags. This is already like 2 months into the war. She said, every day it's like this. What's going on? She couldn't understand. And she said, I'm from Jamaica. She says, I wouldn't go back to my country if there was a war. She says, I bet you at the other gate where, there's Air Ukraine or whatever it's called, and I'm flying to Ukraine. 75 bags, 100 bags going every single day with stuff. It's crazy. Right? We know this, the Hafla Recha Kamocha. We can't explain it. However, here's a little bit of a downer. What's the last pasuk? He says, no, I have another pasuk. What? This is the parshios of building of the Mishkan. And a few weeks ago, we learned about the Korban Tamid, The Korban Tamid was a Korban that was brought every single day, day in and day out, the Korban Tamid. And literally, this is what it says. They brought a Korban every day. It was called the Tamid. The Tamid was brought, Tamid literally means consistently. It was a consistent Korban that was brought day in and day out. The Ein Yaakov ends the Medrash by saying, you know who won the one? Not Mr. Vayhaftarecha Kamacha. Not Mr. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Echad. The Pasuk of the Tamid. I want to tell this over to my students. They're like, oh, seriously? That's the Pasuk? How can that be? Comes along the Maharal Mipragim and Sivas Oilom. Says the Maharal, I'll tell you why. Because it's consistency that wins the race. Consistency is what we want in Judaism. If we wanted to find a Simcha Jew, it's not somebody who's only happy one time a year. Oh, it's, oh God, here it is. It's Purim again. I hate that day, you know? I'm sure you go out on Dolev and you can see it gets a little crazier. That's it, you're happy? No. You have to be a consistent person. Every single day, let me just read you some words of the Nesiva Zolom. He says, the explanation is, Ben Pazi wins over because he is inclusive. He emphasizes to serve Hashem is to serve with consistency as a servant. That's what it is. Therefore, it's the verse about the Tamid sacrifice, which was offered every single morning and towards the evening. That's the basis of the Torah, to be consistent. Do day in, day out, do the same things. That's the pasuk. Mitzvah gadol yos b'simcha, Tamid, always. It doesn't say Mishin Nechnas Adar, it says Marbin b'simcha, which means what? Increase joy. You should always have joy. Got to have a little bit more joy during Adar. But that's because God's always with us. The Maharal is saying that we include all the psukim, Shema Yisrael, V'yatarech HaChamocha, but you got to be a Tamid person. Don't just be, you know, one time, say, check, I was nice to another person. You know, somebody came on the bus and I gave him my seat. V'yatarech HaChamocha. And I become a Shema Yisrael Jew. You know, one time I do a Kiddush Hashem. Shema Yisrael, Shkoyach, I did it. No. Consistency. That's who I am. That defines who I am. That's what it's all about. That's the idea over here. It's very interesting. The Svarim HaKadoshim, when we don't know what to quote, we just say the Svarim HaKadoshim say, Rabbi Bitterman quotes us. He said the word Adar stands for the word Aleph Dar. What does the word Dar mean? Dira? Dar is an apartment, a dwelling place. Aleph is Hashem. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Aleph Dar. You know who's here? God. God is amongst us. Certainly here in Eretz Yisrael, we know that. Adar is Aleph Dar, to remind ourselves that God is with us all the time. You always give this example. I apologize because the person's here who I give the example about, my wife. Talk about consistency. So, when we first moved to Israel 15 years ago, my wife got this crazy idea. She said, you know what? I want to take upon myself running. I want to go running. Obviously, she was wanting to rave him something, clearly. Me. And so she would go running with these friends all the time. And then she comes to me, she goes, you know, the marathon's coming up. I think I want to do the 5K. I'm like, okay, shkoyach, I don't really care. I said, no offense, how are you going to do a 5K? You've never, you know, ran in your life. Oh, don't worry about it, we're going to do it. And she did it. And then there was a 10K. And then she told me about this thing called the half marathon. I said, okay, now you're affecting me. Because now you have to, like, start, you have to start, you know, training. Right? And then you have to, then all of a sudden she tells me this terrible thing. Now, I want to do a full marathon. I'm like, oh, are you kidding me now? You're never going to be home. Yeah, it's okay. It's going to be great. How do you succeed in that? So she did, I think Tveria, right, was the first one. She did Tveria. I went with her because I'm the greatest husband ever, as my mom-in-law will yeah. Well, at least, yeah, one of two. Right, and Modest, too. Thank you. That's my art school book, The Modest Humble Rabbi. And so I went there. It wasn't easy for me, I have to tell you. It was raining. It was pouring rain that day. I sat out and I'm like, yay, Serena! It's pouring rain on me. I had to cut breakfast short. I had breakfast in a hotel because I didn't know when she would finish. It wasn't easy for me. You know, she may have ran 42. She got a sticker at least. I got nothing. I had to buy her roses. And you know, there was a guy selling roses at the thing. And I'm like, ah, toda ba kamaze. So, mea shekel. I'm like, it's a mea shekel. He goes, you're not going to find it anywhere else. And he goes, you want to be the bad husband? He goes, people bought yesterday. You didn't buy, you know, I had to buy roses and chocolates and the whole thing. Right? And every woman that was, you know, there wasn't a lot of women with skirts and a shmata on their heads. Every woman that, you know, she goes, yeah, I go, Serena, Serena. It was pouring rain. So I didn't know it was like, and I like hugged this woman. It wasn't her. It was very, yeah, it was very bad. It was very bad. Yeah, yeah. I had to sleep on the couch that night. Anyway, not for now. But what defines, how was she able to do a marathons? Consistency. Because day in and day out, she became addicted to something. We have to be addicted to loving Hashem, to Simcha. That's the whole idea. But I think there's another very important aspect here. And that's the aspect of, we know from Pirkei Avos, the very important line, that the world exists on three ideas of consistency. Torah, Avodah, and Gimelut Chasadim. The Torah that are supposed to live our life, the Avodah, which today is our davening, as we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and, of course, Gimelut Chasadim, acts of kindness. To this, on this parsha that we're reading now, my Rebbe, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, codifies this and says it's very interesting. Because when we talk about the Mishkan is described, as it is in the parsha we just read, in three different ways. It's described three different times. It's described as the Mishkan HaEdus. The Mishkan HaEdus defined the Aron, that central place where the Torah was, inside, Lifnai Lifnim, where the Luchos, and I have to point out, the Shivrei Luchos, let's not forget what happened 2 weeks ago in our Parsha. It wasn't only the Luchos. It was the not, because God realizes that sometimes you're not going to have the best day. The Jews did not have the best day. 2 weeks ago in our Parsha, I had a really bad day. They did literally what God said not to do. Please, anything. You know, I always think about the, you know, you go into the Adam and Chava, and God literally says, you could, anything you want, anything. Right? Like I always say to my children, if I don't want them to do something, I tell them, do it, do it, do it. They're like, I'm not doing it. You can't tell me what to do. Reverse psychology. So what happens? God says, don't, the Eitz Hadas, just from that, don't drink. And the snake comes and says, come on, it's not that bad. Come on. Right? So every Yetzihara. So over here, we have the Shivrei Luchos is also included because Hashem is saying, you're going to fall. You're not, every morning you're not waking up happy. No way, right? Not everybody can be as fortunate as my wife. Every morning she wakes up, boom, joke right away. I say a joke and she laughs. No, that's not really true. No, it doesn't really happen. No, she actually usually hits me and says, can you please stop snoring? Please, already, stop. I'm like, oh, that was my joke of the day. I'm trying to be funny. Number two, we call it the Mikdash. It's supposed to be seen as a Mikdash. Mikdash, of course, we know the Beis HaMikdash, right? It looks like it's a shul, maybe, right? It's supposed to be, what is it a place of? It's a place of God's presence. The Mikdash, Avodah, it's the place that we daven. It's supposed to be a special place. It's very hard to explain, especially to teenagers. I try to explain to them. This room looks very similar to other rooms when we go into the Beis Medrash, right? And maybe they're on their phones and they're looking at things maybe they shouldn't be looking at. I go, this room's different than every other room. It looks like the same room. You don't do that in this room. This is different. We don't tell Lashon Hara in this room. Not you should ever tell Lashon Hara. But certainly in a Mikdash, we don't do that. And the third thing was called the Ohel Moed. What's the Ohel Moed? Literally, it was the place everybody, the tent of gathering. So everybody hung out. That's shul's about that too. A person can't discount that. Our shul just had this week. It was a Shabbos Gibush. Everybody to get together. We had a wonderful question and answer with the rabbi, and we just had a Shal Shudis. Because shul's not only about davening, it's not just about the rabbi's drasha, it's about everybody, it's a place to get together. Says Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, those are the three integral parts. Torah, Avodah, Gimel Chasadim. Mishkan was the Torah. Mishkan HaEdus, that's where the Aron stood. The Mikdash was the place that we davened to Hashem, the Avodah. And Gimel Chasadim, of course, was that area. Says Rav Usher Weiss, speaking here in, I think not at the same time. I would never compete with him. So Rav Usher Weiss says beautifully, what about the Kalim that we had in this week's Parsha? He says the Kalim also signify Torah Avodah Gimel Chasadim. He says how? He says the menorah, the central menorah. I mean, we certainly commemorate until today the great menorah. He says the menorah, of course, Ki Ner Mitzvah Torah Or. That's the Torah. The menorah reminds us of the Or of the Torah. And then we have the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach, of course, is where the Avodah was done, right? In fact, the Rabbeinu Bachaya says this. The Rabbeinu Bachaya says the ultimate port of Avodah is L'Hakriv. What does the word Korban mean? It comes from the word Karov, to get close to. Get close to God. That was the whole idea. That's Avodah, to get close to God. All these things, by the way, are to get close to God. And finally, the Shulchan. We actually commemorate today the Shulchan. We have, I don't know, I grew up with this, is that at my dining room table, oh my God, if you sat on the, that was the worst thing you could ever do. I'm like, why not? It's a mizbeach. I'm like, really? It's a mizbeach, you know? Are we going to bring korbanos? But it's true. What do we have on the table? We have a knife, really halachically, except for Shabbos, you're supposed to take the knife off, because it reminds us of the mizbeach of Hashem. Again, the three things. Gimilut chasadim, what do you do, hopefully, what do you at your Shabbos table? You invite people over. You have guests over. That's the ultimate form of gimilut chasadim. It's wonderful, it's amazing. Something very interesting. About three weeks ago, we had a Purim Katan, the small Purim. So the Shulchan Aruch wonders, what do we do on that day? It's like the fake Purim, right? It was supposed to be Purim. We made a mistake in the calendar because, you know, God forbid, Pesach should not be in the spring because this is, I'm assuming, for clothing reasons, so that we could start wearing our straw hats and I don't know. Anyway, but that's the idea. The idea is that Pesach has to be. So therefore, we oftentimes have two others, like this year. So what do you do with the Purim Katan? The Mefarshim asks, what do you do with the Purim Katan? Excuse me. So, Serena, I'm drinking water. That's good. So, yeah, just did it for her. So, I'm a Coke Zero guy. So, comes along the Rama, and the Rama says the following thing. I'm not sure. What should we do on Purim Katan? Right? It was last, if you remember, it was 2 weeks ago on a Thursday night, Friday. He says, maybe we should have a Suda. Maybe, I know it's not really, but why not? Some Mefarshim say, it could have been. In fact, if you look at the Gemara says in Megillah, Adafav, it says, why, which, you know, will the real Adar stand up? So, one of the rabbis say, of course it's the real Adar, it's the first Adar. You know why? Ein mavirin ala mitzvah. If you have a mitzvah that comes, you do it right away. You don't wait. So, it's called Adar after all. So, why shouldn't it be the real Adar? And then the second rabbi says, no. You know why? Yesh smichas ge'ula le'ge'ula. It's actually funny that people don't know this, but the real simcha of Adar comes because Pesach is coming. Except we can't be so happy during Pesach. Why? Because not everybody's fancy schmancy, like my mother-in-law takes us away to a hotel, right? This is it. You know, like after everybody knows what happens. After Purim is over, maybe Shushan Purim would be Machmir, that's it. Everybody knows, like, don't eat there, you can't eat in that room, you can't eat in this room, that's it, it's the saddest time of the year, because, right, but it's really, the Geula is the happiest time of the year, it's the absolute happiest time of the year, and therefore, really, the second Adar wins, but because maybe, so says the Shulchan Aruch, in literally the last line of, sorry, the Ramah, Ramos Yerushalayim's last line in all of Orach Chaim is, Tov Lev Nishta Tamid, why not, it's good to be happy. So, we should always be happy, so why not make a meal? Tov Lev Nishta Tamid. Say many of the Mefarshim, this is quoted in the Maharal and other things, Rav Asher Weiss has a beautiful piece on this. He says, wait a minute. Don't just be a Tov Lev Nishta Tamid Jew, right? What does that mean? Don't just always be happy-go-lucky and everything's amazing all the time. It has to be, how? Thank you for the prop. Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Tamid. And if you look at the first Ramah in all of Shulchan Aruch, literally the Ramah starts off, Aleph, Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Tamid. Why don't you write this in shuls? It kind of reminds us, kind of says, hey, wait a minute, Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Tamid. Your mindset should be in front of God. You can't just be happy. Is this happiness? Tov Lev Nishta Tamid? Are you having this party for the right reasons? This is the ultimate question in all of Judaism. A Tamid Jew doesn't just mean, oh, always be happy at any cost. No. We recognize that there are some times where Jewish law tells us something, and what do we say? No, I'm not going to do it. What do you mean you're not going to do it? It's in the Jewish law. We all knew this, of course, from Corona. There is a wonderful Jewish law that tells us we should come and we should daven together, and then all of a sudden Corona comes, and the rabbis tell us, and the doctors tell us, ooh, nobody should be together. Nobody. You can't daven together. Now, what do I do? Very easy. Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Tamid. What does God want of me? Rav Chanan Wasserman writes this. He says, what is Ratzon Hashem? What does God want me? There are some times, whenever I'm on the plane, I think about this, right? I promise you this is a true story. This actually happened on United. You would think this was a Malal story. I'm on the plane, and what happens? 3:30 in the morning, coming back to America. No, minion. This is why on the plane, I'm being honest with you, I don't wear a yarmulke on the plane. I don't wear a yarmulke. I wear a baseball hat. I wear a crop. No. I don't want people to know I'm from, but I don't want them to come out to me. No, minion. Guy comes, stalker. I'm like, what are you doing? We're on a plane. He goes, you have a pekel? You have ragaloch? You have children? Like, no, don't come up to me. I'm not you. I don't know. Like, I wear a tracksuit. I don't want anybody to know. But I happen to be sitting in the bulkhead seat, and there was a minion there. So what am I going to do? I'm not going to daven? So I start davening. It happened to be Chodesh Elul. And davening's about to end, and the chassid looks at him, and he says, no, machashofer, is you have a shofer? I go, are you mad? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to blow shofar on the plane? And he looked at me like I was the crazy one. Like he just said to me, excuse me, sir, do you have any phylacteries I haven't put on? And I said to him, tefillin on a plane? You know, a talus on a plane? He said to me, what do you mean, no? Do you have a shofar or not? Of course we're going to blow shofar on the plane. And I'm like, even if I had a shofar, I happen to blow shofar. I happen to have had a shofar. I said, I'm not, no. Baruch Hashem, he got it from somebody else. And he was very machmir. He thought it was Rosh Hashanah. He's like, 100 kolos on the plane. I cannot believe this is going on. That is a typical example of, that's not Shavisei Shamon HaGi Tamid. You're not a Tamid Jew. God doesn't want that from you. That's not the right time. You have to, it has to be, just like we say with Karbanos, Temidim Kisidrim. It has to be in the right order. You can't just always be, has to be happiness in the right way. This gets us to the holiday of Purim. And I was thinking that maybe Purim is a little bit different. If I wanted to razzle-dazzle you, I could say, well, we can find the three things I just spoke about, Torah, Avodah, and Gula Chasadim, in Purim. I could say that. If you want, I'll tell you after how I figured it out. But I don't think that that's true. I think that there are certain times where we only have to concentrate on others. And I have to say that that's true for those, you know, we know, you're serving in the army, you're only thinking about one other person, the person next to you. You're not thinking about yourself, trust me. That's the time that we're in, and Purim reminds us of that. If you think of all the mitzvos of the day revolve around us doing things for other people. Matonos le'avyonim. Matonos le'avyonim is we give. In fact, there's a halacha that says, kol haposhet yad. I know this is difficult, because it happens here all the time, right? Anybody that comes up to you and asks for money, in fact, they become a custom of smart kids who know this halacha, who are not poor, and they say, hey, they deliver shalach manos. Oh, that's so sweet, honey. Give me money. Halachically, you have to give anybody who asks for money. We don't start doing asking them what their bank account is and arnona. No. We have to give everybody money. Why? Because it's the day of Ba'atha Recha Kamocha. I'm not asking any questions. What about Mishalach Manos? Honestly, Mishalach Manos as the Truma Sadeshan is only there to not embarrass people, to make sure that everybody has ample food, that everybody, and even according to this famous Machlokes, which some think is not Machlokes at all, the famous Manos Halevi, Rav Alkabetz, who's more famously known as the one who wrote the Lecha Dodi, so he writes, he says, well, that reason is not that everybody makes sure they have a Suda, it's to promote goodwill towards man, so that you will be able to show, wow, Kinder, look at all the Shalach Manos I got. I got this thing I'm not going to eat. I got this thing I'm not going to eat. This person who I don't trust their Hashkacha, so and so. It's very interesting. There's somebody once went to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. This is remarkable. The great rabbi, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And he said, he brought him a Shalach Manos, and he says to him, I don't want anything back. Rav Shlomo Zalman probably said, I wasn't giving you anything back. But okay. He says, I don't want anything back, except I want a Dvar Torah. Tell me a Dvar Torah. He says, I'm going to tell you a beautiful Dvar Torah. Purim is the most unique holiday to have all holidays because it's the one day of the year we eat from everybody's food and we don't ask any questions. This is pretty shocking to me because in my house when stuff come in, I'm like, throw that in the garbage. I don't trust those people. No. Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, we're not makbid. We love everybody. V'hafta reicha kamocha. Okay? I don't know this halachic pasch. I'm not paschening for you. There's some things that are obviously not. But okay. But that's the idea. What about Sudas Purim? That's the Suda. The Suda is to make sure everybody has food for the Suda. The Suda is only better when there are a lot of people there. When we have people at our Suda, Divrei Torah, everybody, that's what it's about. But now I stumble with the Megillah. Uh-oh, what about the Megillah? So I actually think that is the whole point of the Megillah. We have a very interesting halacha when it comes to the Megillah. The Megillah, what are we told? Berov Am Hadras Melach. It's better to go to the larger shul. It's better not to hear Megillah in your home. It's better, so much so, that there's a special bracha that is only said in a minyan of 10 people, which, by the way, since we're outnumbered here, right? Even if it was 10 women, you would make this bracha, right? If you went to a shul and there was 10 women, you still would make the bracha. It's called Aravis Rivenu. Because I think the essence of the Megillah is Persumei Nisa. What's Persumei Nisa? Publicizing the miracle. To who? To everyone. The idea is, yes, I have to stop one time of the year and say, I am a Jew. That's all about B'chata Rechemocha. I am a Tumah Jew, but I'm going to be more of a Tumah Jew than ever. I'm going to give, and I don't make light of it. I think having themes is great. People are going to laugh at the Shalach Manos. You have, wow, that's so funny. But great. What a wonderful thing. Puts people in a good mood. Right? Of course, we all know this. The greatest thing that you can do, bring Shalach Manos to somebody who you're not friendly with. It's very easy to give it to all your neighbors who you love and all your neighbors who you know, like the person who is going to give me the Zamek's cake and the Asmi Spavanti, you know, of course. But how about that person that may not give you back anything? Why don't you knock on that door and say, wow, you know what the simcha they're going to get? I think that's what the holiday is all about. That's being a Tumah Jew. Doing things that maybe are a little bit uncomfortable. And I think that's what we find. And therefore, I think that is the ultimate bracha. Because if you look at the bracha of Aravis Rivenu, Aravis Rivenu literally means Hashem who takes vengeance. Ve'nikam es nikmasenu. He avenges those that are against us. And the bracha ends, Baruch Ata Hashem, Hanifra la'amu Yisrael, Nikol Tzarehem, Lekel HaMoshiach. Hashem who exacts punishment to those on behalf of his people, on behalf of us. That's the ultimate bracha we ask Hashem for at this time. It is the holiday of Purim, where we will come to God and we'll show him our V'ahavta Recha Kamocha like never before, like we've been doing Baruch Hashem for 5 months. And we'll have this ultimate bracha. And God says, if you're with the minyan and you're here and you, that's what Megillah is about. Then you can make the bracha. Because I have everybody together. And that ultimately will bring the ultimate ge'ula. And that will bring the ge'ula in Mirtz Hashem, the ge'ula of making sure our enemies aren't around. I wish I could say, only Hamas. We know it's not only Hamas. Anybody who watched the State of the Union address, there's a lot of other people that hate us. There are a lot of college campuses that hate us. This is no news story. But that bracha of Purim is the ultimate bracha. Of saying, I know what it is to be a consistent Jew. A consistent Jew knows that I need to take care. And it was shown like never before. For the last 5 months, it hasn't stopped. It continues over and over again so much. My son used to joke, and he said, enough with the barbecues. Stop coming to my base. These Americans, I know, it's nice. I have had more steak, I have more iron in my body than I've ever had before. I feel like I've ate a gun, you know what I'm saying? It's beautiful. We just want to do more and more. I think it's that V'ahavta Recha Kamocha of this holiday of Purim that Mirtz Hashem bring us to this ultimate point of Mashiach Tzidkenu, where God and Mirtz Hashem should take the vengeance on those that have bothered the Jewish people and bring Mashiach Tzidkenu, the Meher of the Amen. Amen. Amen.